What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm Kyle French. Today is September 21st, and we got hot new music from Joey Perp and Suicide Boys to get to today. They dropped Quarter Thing and I Want to Die in New Orleans. Some quick hits as well. We're going to discuss the Frank Ocean legal proceedings against Travis Scott and Astroworld. And Kanye is teasing a new album. The man cannot get enough of himself. So we might be getting even more Kanye West coming in 2018. It's very likely we are. We also have, and I know I say this almost every week, but this time I'm serious. This might actually be the hottest song of the week I've ever played on the show. And we also have a fire batch of new music announcements. The hottest month in a minute. September has been absolutely insane for hip hop. So we'll get to all that in the next 30 to 40 minutes or so. We're going to start with Quarter Thing by Joey Perp. One of the more slept on MCs coming up in the modern Chicago scene, 25 years old. If you don't recognize his name, I'm sure you'll recognize some of the guys he's running with out there, like Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa, Saba, Mick Jenkins, No Name. It's a hotbed for young talent out in Chicago, so I do understand why Joey Perp flies a little bit more under the radar and is definitely not a headliner from that group, but this project proves that he should be. His second full-length release, and we get one of the most dynamic albums of the year, showcasing all of Mr. Purple's talent. His 2016 release, Eye Drops, painted a vivid, pain-filled picture of his hometown city, Chicago, introduced us to Joey, his crime-ridden youth, his family problems, environmental learning curves, etc. It established him as probably the darkest member of his Chi-Town contemporaries. Many of them, I feel like, fit the mold of the good kid, mad city vibe. They're more, you know, observing from the sidelines, more or less, the dangers and the things that go on around them that create such a chaotic environment. Joey is much less of a bystander. I believe his father and his brother were big into the drug game. He grew up in that. It was just part of his family. His brother's doing like next to life in prison. I'm pretty sure his father was murdered due to, you know, these circumstances. So he's closer to the situation than some guys like Chance the Rapper, obviously. He speaks out and, you know, he does a lot for his community, speaking on the issues that they're going through. But Chance wasn't really in the trenches himself. Joey Perp kind of was. And those type of stories are what we got a lot of on Eye Drops. So that's kind of where we left him off. And now he drops Quarter Thing 2 years later. And I got to say, this album pushes his sound so much further than his previous work, exemplifies his versatility in extraordinary ways, and redefines who he can be as an artist. And in my mind, raise the ceiling on what he can be. So we're going to walk through kind of the progression of this album and why it really stands out to me. So it kicks off with a predictable regional sound. Triumphant, up-tempo beat, bursting with like glory, but simultaneously like these kind of tales of tragedies, talking about ambulances speeding by, hope none of his friends died. He's kind of pleading for guidance on the second half of the song, just saying all we need is trust, all we need is love. And we get an immediate peek at the liveliness of this album and how it can switch up on a dime as it quickly transitions to the second half, which is a gospel-like refrain from Raven Lane as she sings All We Need Is Love. And it's beautiful. It sounds like something that would have been inspired by Chance the Rapper's coloring book. So an awesome intro there. And then he just bodies God Body Part 2, which actually features RZA. Wu-Tang members RZA and GZA both have features on this album, and they don't even sway the spotlight away from Perp. He was the main focus the whole time, despite two legends being on his album. And after he goes off over these amazing chaotic drum lines on God Body Part 2, we get our first peek at this changeup, getting into some bouncier tracks. Elastic is a hot single, probably the biggest single from the album right now. Not my personal favorite, but it sounds very Pharrell influenced, jumpy, bouncy, lighter. And this is where we start to kind of move away from the predictable, like conscious, lyrical sound that Chicago typically provides. And we complete this 180 with the track Aw Shit, which, although Perp doesn't even do that much rapping on it, the beat is insane. It has these glitchy drum patterns, almost similar to something you would have heard on JPEG Mafia's album Veteran from earlier in the year, and gets complemented by these crazy electronics. At the end of the song, it almost sounds like, I don't know, Pokemon-esque music or like an ice cream truck, but somehow it fits and sounds super dope. This is quickly followed up by the title track, Quarter Thing, which sounds like it could be produced by Romil, which is, he's the primary producer for Brockhampton, who makes, in my opinion, some of the most abstract, adventuresome beats in the game. I love their production style, and Quarter Thing, the title track, fit that mold perfectly. And this isn't all to take away from Joey's performance. His lyricism takes a backseat, but he still plays with so many different flows and pockets, uses different vocal effects very well to fit into these out-of-the-box instrumentals. And then once we get like a solid 4 or 5 songs of this eclectic reinvention of Joey Perp, we switch lanes once again, transitioning into the trap-influenced slapper section of Quarter Thing. And contrary to what you would probably expect going into this half of the album, which is a huge chunk of the album, this is actually maybe Perp's most impressive lyrical section as well. Whether he's reflecting back on his money-hungry mind state following his homie's death on the blunt spaciness of 2012, or relapsing to his drug dealer days on Look at My Wrist, he's continuously hiding these humbling realizations wrapped underneath his trap flows. Even on Paint Thinner, which just goes dummy hard, and I don't even really pay attention to the lyrics or listen to it for that aspect necessarily, but on the chorus alone, he says, "Hope my son ain't a fake player, hope his daddy ain't a drug dealer." Pretty much like wishing himself to be a good father and get out of this game that he came up in. So despite it being an absolute slap, there is still some like content here. And as he dives into this subgenre, he doesn't sound like a guest taking his best crack at this sound that's become so popular. He sounds like he was born into this subgenre, like he could belong here. Admittedly, some of these songs do feel too much like impressions. They are well-done impressions that prove Perp's widespread versatility, but impressions nonetheless, which does take a little bit away from them. And then we close the album out by getting back to our starting point. We round things out with this track, LeBron James, which has some of the hungriest bars on the album and returns to the eyedrops-esque Joey Perp that we knew before. And you might be thinking, this is kind of all over the place. He gets into multiple sounds. He's off the wall. He's doing this. He's doing that. And that is true. And it does get a little bit chaotic, but he kind of lets you sit with the sound for a good 3-4 songs at least before transitioning to the next one. And because he lets you understand it and bask in it and live with it for long enough, it doesn't feel like it's bouncing all over the place. It does feel like just a natural progression as he explores so many different routes. And for that reason, I would say Quarter Thing is easily Perp's most defining work to date. It redefines himself in a lane separate from the circle he's usually grouped into. It's lively, dynamic, constantly keeps you on your toes, but still allows you to fully absorb each idea. And as an MC, Joey's never really found lacking energy and is successfully testing his delivery in new waters. The replay value's been through the roof for me. I mean, a few critiques I might have is that songs feel a little bit too individual. And I also think if he brought on some killer features, it would have taken this to another level. For the most part, it's just him. But I really do mess with this project to a high degree, and I would highly recommend it. The best tracks for me were 24 Karat Gold / Sanctified, Aw Shit, 2012, Karl Malone, and LeBron James. My least favorite tracks would probably be Fessional / Diamonds Dancing and Hallelujah. And I would recommend this album to you if you like Saba, Vic Mensa, or Pharrell. And I'm going to go ahead and lay a juicy 8 out of 10 on Quarter Thing by Joey Perp. I'll play 2 quick samples here from the album. I'm going to play 24 Karat Gold / Sanctified, which is the opener and is more of your classic Joey. And then I'm also going to play Aw Shit, which I think is probably the furthest from what I thought I would hear from him on this album or really on anything. And so I'll give you kind of the two ends of the spectrum. So this is 24 Karat Gold and Aw Shit.
Young, all we ask is trust. All they need is love. All we have is we. All we need is us. I done seen the light, and my memories are such. I prepare for the pressure. I prepare for the pressure. I walk in the steps, I feel no weapon. I look in the sky, it's me in the flesh. Yes, we still alive, y'all. I'm still alive. Yeah, I know we still alive, but I wake up, the bullets flying. Mila crying, ambulance is speeding past. Pray none of my niggas die. Smoking, thinking about the past. Wishing I could press rewind. Thinking about the changes, all the ways I should have read the signs. I'm still alive, y'all. I'm still alive. Yeah. I know we still alive, but I wake up, the bullets flying. Homicides, my daughter crying. Ambulance is speeding past. Pray none of my niggas die. Smoking, thinking about the past. Wishing I could press rewind. Think about the changes, all the ways I should have read the signs. Think about the game and all the ways it should be redesigned. Think about the pain and all the days my brother spent confined. Think about the stages and the ways they infiltrate the mind. 24 karat gold, bleeding out this heart of mine. I just paid my mama rent, then I paid my homie bond. He got out, fuck my baby moms. Loyalty is hard to find. Seen a hating nigga's eyes, I know this the perfect time. 24 karat gold, bleeding out this heart of mine. I was hustling for my daughter, only thing that's on my mind. Get a dollar out her college fund, you out your fucking mind. I'm closer to my divine, everything's revealed with time. 24 karat gold, bleeding, all we ask is trust. All they need is love. All we had was we. All we had was us.
Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this ballin'. Throwing 150s, you can see them falling. If you tryna go about it, shout it, call me. Don't be all up on me in the party, chain smoke. If you want it, got it for you, you know how the game go. My big bro was trapping back when they was wearing Kangos. And he had the Prada sneakers with the Pelly jacket, shooting up the party, yelling. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this bitch. Oh shit. They done let the wrong in this ballin'. Pickin' rolls, giving goals, pickin' rolls, call me. If you tryna go about it, shout it cautious. Poppin' another, got me nauseous. Chain smoke, and we got it for you, shout it. You know how the game go. Folks in them was trappin' back when they was wearing iceberg sweaters with the jeans, with the creases, Gucci sneakers, turban off a beat, but had to yell it. Oh shit, the wrong. Oh shit, the wrong.
That was 24 karat gold and Aw Shit from Joey Perp off his new album Quarter Thing to kick things off today on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. The next album we're going to get into is from the Suicide Boys, titled I Want to Die in New Orleans. Duo from New Orleans, as you would assume. Two members, Ruby and Scrim, often described as death rap by some. They have a very cult fan base, but it is growing rapidly as the dark emo-esque trap scene is definitely been taking off and making leaps and bounds as far as popularity goes. And as you could probably guess from the group's name, they rap with a death wish, some of the most grim and dark subject matter you're gonna find. The duo has a very non-industry sound. This sounds like it was recorded in a drug addict's basement, some like dungeon shit. It's a very somewhat creepy vibe to the entire project. They often come across with a harsh screamo delivery that really channels their anger, but they do have multiple angles. Ruby can occasionally breaks out with these like melodies, and Scrim drops into this low tone where he's like barely getting the words out. His voice is like cracking because he's barely speaking, and it's almost like he can't even deal with all the pressure and stress going on around him. And they do a really good job of like channeling their feelings into their delivery to make you really feel it. The production value here is also pretty high. It derives its base from the same place that your standard subgenre of trap derives its base from. But I don't know what it is about. I can't really put my finger on it, but it just feels different. The best way I can describe it is it's almost like these two guys made their completely own style of music, didn't even know about the rap industry, and just coincidentally they sound similar. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. There's definitely a rift between the two. And like I said, this is super in your face. There's not a single background song on here. There's nothing you can throw on just casually listen to. Like, these beats even somehow overshadow the intense vocals at time. And that combination definitely makes for some of the hardest shit in the game. They can go insanely hard, like on the track Wartime All the Time, which sounds more like an army of dudes instead of just two guys sitting in the booth. In the background, you can hear like cries of pain, emptying of bullets out of a clip, chopper noises. It's absolute chaos. It's super dark. It's super heavy. And because of that, you really have to know what you're getting into with this album. I would not recommend this to just the casual rap listener because they're probably going to be off put by it. You really got to be ready and prepared for this adventure that they take you through. The themes and the idea behind the album, they're pretty much just painting the world as their personal hell. It's boiling over with angst and pressure and stress. Some really revealing lines are like on the opening track, King Tulip. They say dreams of suicide and a need for death. I believe it's on 122 Days. The quote is, life is overrated as shit. And on another song, the refrain is, save me from this hell, just let me rest in peace. So, I mean, these guys are clearly living in turmoil with a lot on their shoulders and a lot of like heavy feelings going on inside. I read that they actually formed the group after being fed up with their lives and kind of like hating themselves. And they basically made a pact that they're interested in music. They're going to pursue a music career. And they agreed that if they don't blow up, if their music career doesn't get them where they need to go, then they were going to commit suicide, which is, it's crazy. And in this album, they actually do follow through on these claims, as the final track is preceded by basically a spoken eulogy at a memorial for them, implying that they, in one way or another, likely suicide, did pass away. Fortunately, I don't think this will actually be a reality. This album and the group itself are doing pretty well, so they've made it. I think they've escaped those days, but it's not to say those feelings aren't still there. It's not to say their mindset is still stuck in that era. And the thing about this album and this group is that in a lot of this emo, trap, dark, like depressed music that's been coming out, there's usually either light at the end of the tunnel, some optimistic angles, or some tracks that are funner and the lighter side of things. Like, these are like what we do have to live for. Not really on I Want to Die in New Orleans. There's not really any of those moments on here. It's overly pessimistic. There's not really a light at the end of the tunnel. And although I 100% believe that they feel exactly how they describe their lives in their music, the glorification of suicide and death is a little bit of a slippery slope to me. At the end of the day, I do stand on the side of the fence that no artist should be ridiculed for spreading a bad message, or like whenever people go at rappers for influencing the minds of kids. I feel like every artist should have the right to freedom. They should be able to talk about whatever they want, however it comes across. They're not really responsible for what happens on the other end, but this kind of makes me nervous, and it is a little bit uncomfortable at times how over the top and upfront they are about their wish to commit suicide, which is pretty intense. And this album is focused on their home city of New Orleans. I don't want to leave that aspect of it out, and it's kind of like their warped mind state here too, because we get some commentary towards New Orleans. There's clips of news broadcasts that play at the end of multiple songs. But it's always negative stuff. It's always crimes in the area, or there's one about contaminated drinking water and the levees breaking in New Orleans, etc., etc. It's always negative things. So it's fitting for them that even the city they love, the place that they would want to die, they paint as a living hell. So you really do have to commit, like I said, to this journey that the Suicide Boys take you down. There are some relatable moments underneath their explosiveness and some more down-to-earth moments here and there where you really can connect with some of the things they're speaking to and why they aren't happy with their lives or just the, you know, the dredge of just following everything that society expects you or wants you to do just mindlessly. And as far as musically and sonically, this album is put together really well. I do think they have a unique sound. They definitely stand out. There's not many people you could say are similar to them, and not many can match just the rawness of how hard they go and how blunt they are about their feelings. So, hell of an adventure. Ultimately, a pretty good album that is unique in today's hip-hop landscape. My favorite tracks on here were 122 Days, Nicotine Patches, and Wartime All the Time. My least favorite tracks were Bring Out Your Dead and Fuck the Industry. I would recommend this album if you like Xavier Wolf, Lil Peep, or Denzel Curry. And my overall rating for I Want to Die New Orleans would be a 7 out of 10. And the two tracks I'm going to play from this album are 122 Days, my personal favorite, and then Wartime All the Time. I think this will give you guys kind of a range of some of the lighter stuff they do, which isn't really that light, and then the hard stuff they do, which is just like really overbearingly heavy and intense. So just be prepared for that. This is 122 Days and Wartime All the Time by the Suicide Boys.
Local boy making fucking global noises, I can't destroy. So that shows from the globe twice, now I feel like a fucking viceroy. Never say don't do whatever, drug, I always touch the boy. But it is time and I make sure I'm buried in FTP Conroy. Suicide.
Stupid motherfucking question. No pity, needed fighting woman. I was seven, was handing. Running drugs up on my bike, you know I had a weapon. And them drugs became my obsession. Nobody can say they gave me a fucking thing. Got it from the money, I'm a G.O.D. Hold up. Going south, south, west, Spain, living legend. We want y'all Christ, this your fucking thing, right? Northside shorty off the porch, sipping dip, little sleep, wanna quit, life overrated and shit. Every day eating sticks, gotta wash it down. And when I wash it down, you know where to switch, bitch. I just want some happiness to live a normal life again. Sleep late, do nothing. Talk with my cousin, like you asking my cousin.
Let it roar, I'll break the fucking score. Bury me into the bar, yeah, bar.
122 days in wartime all the time right there from the Suicide Boys. And like, if that wasn't recorded in a literal war zone, I would be shocked. Like, I don't know how they bring that type of energy and sound to their music. It's just so unique from a lot of the music that's out there currently. And after a couple of listens, I really started to appreciate it and like this album a lot. So those are our album reviews for the week. Next week, we're probably going to be doing East Atlanta Love Letter by Black and Room 25 by No Name. September is not letting up. It's just heat albums every week, back to back. But for now, let's get into some current events, some news here. And one thing I saw this week that jumped out to me and is still kind of confusing is this whole Frank Ocean, Travis Scott ordeal. So I'll try to break it down, even though I don't have all the details. Basically, last week, Frank Ocean issued a cease and desist over the track he was featured on Carousel from Travis Scott's Astroworld album, which dropped about maybe 2 months ago. And he ordered that it would be removed. There's no explanation originally. A lot of people were theorizing it had to do with the After Effects used on Frank's vocals. They thought it was pitch shifted, maybe too much for his liking, or too much auto-tune was used, and he didn't like the way he sounded. That didn't make much sense to me, because I would assume most artists hear the finished versions of songs that they're featured on before they're released. It would be strange to me if Frank just laid down this audio and just pieced and never cared about the song again. So I feel like he would have okayed it, which a couple days later, he actually explained that he did okay. He did hear the finished product, and it had nothing to do with the song itself, but instead the cease and desist had to do with LGBTQ matters and some, I guess, morals that he wasn't a big fan of from Travis Scott, so he didn't want to look like he was supporting Travis in these actions by being on his album. This is likely to do with the controversy over Travis's album cover. There is an alternate album cover that features multiple naked women, and I guess the photographer that shot it had one picture in mind, and after he gave it to Travis Scott, Travis Scott posted a picture, but he had removed only one person from the cover, and it was this model who was a transgender model. So there was a big fuss over if that was the only reason he omitted her from the cover. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of social justice people standing up saying, like, you know, you can't be doing that, it's 2018, this and that. Then Travis didn't really deny it. He just issued a statement saying that Astroworld is for everybody and it supports everybody, you know, despite any factors of them. Everyone's just as awesome and equal as the next person. But I guess Frank didn't want to toe that line. He didn't want to get caught up in maybe fans like turning on him and saying like, look, you're on his album. Like, how could you do this? Like, you're supposed to represent us, whatever. Because obviously Frank, as a either gay or bisexual member, he's a part of the LGBTQ community and he does a lot of things for them. But the weird thing is, like, he kind of called it off. He said, like, we're cool now. I talked to Travis, like, off, you know, outside of legal terms. The cease and desist is done. Like, we're cool now. We talked it out. And I explained to him what I wanted to explain to him. But it doesn't make much sense if he was just doing it, like, as a pride move to prove his stance. I've seen more overblown reactions from fans turning on artists. But I really think Frank was fine. He didn't really have to do this. And if he's not going to follow through on it, it really feels like he just did it to avoid controversy. So it's kind of a weird pride stand the way I see it. And I mean, there's no saying if that was the actual reason Travis Scott removed the trans model from his cover. But it also would surprise me if that was the case, because Travis is dating Kylie Jenner, has a kid with her, and she's obviously the daughter of probably the most famous or popular trans person in the world. So I don't know. I feel like Travis wouldn't be like turned off or insensitive to that. I'm sure he's accepted it. He understands it and would support it. So I don't really have the answers on why all this went down, but that's just my take on it. It's kind of a confusing scenario. A little bit of unnecessary action from Frank, I would say. But bottom line, Carousel is going nowhere, thankfully, because it's one of my favorite tracks on Astroworld, and Frank's feature is awesome. So it's not going anywhere. The cease and desist will not hit, will not be removed from streaming services. So thankful for that, and hopefully Frank and Trav get past this. They're cool, and they can make more music in the future. And in bigger headlines, I led the show by letting you know Kanye West is possibly putting out new music. So here's the breakdown. Just when we thought he was done, we thought Yeezy season was over, Kanye had exited stage left for 2018, somehow he's back. He shared this picture via Twitter of a blank CD album cover, and it drew strong comparisons to his Yeezus album, which was also a blank CD, like in a case, and fans thought it was possibly a sequel. And then Monday, Ye clarified with another post that had the same picture and stated that it was an album titled Yandi, due out September 28th. So no one knows if it's an actual follow-up to Yeezus. Obviously, it takes from the same like title phrase, like Yeezy times Jesus. This one would be Yeezy times Gandhi. But I cannot put into words how scared I am for what this album might be. Because my theory on it is this is going to be the biggest troll of all time. As we know, he just made a song with Lil Pump titled I Love It, which they debuted at like, it was like some porn awards show, which I didn't even know they did. And somehow that's where they debuted their music video. It's been the most popular music video on YouTube. It's been streaming like crazy. And it's an absolutely trash song. But that's just like what gets big. If you troll, if you do things purposefully bad, people love it. They get behind it. There's memes about it. Obviously, the music video helped because they're walking around in these like blocky, huge outfits, which are hilarious. But that's taken off. That, my theory is that could be a single for the album. Just last week, he was posting about how he was in the studio and hanging out with Tekashi 6ix9ine, who is the biggest troll artist of our generation and pretty much has made his entire career off trolling and memes. And with Kanye already pouring himself into like five albums this summer, back to back to back to back, I can't imagine he has a lot left in the tank to make a full, serious, like creative album again just months later. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's one of the greatest music artists of all time. But I have a wary feeling that this is going to be the biggest joke, the biggest troll. Kanye West is about to drop a 1 out of 10, and people are going to absolutely love it. It's going to be the 1 out of 10 the culture needs. And obviously, I don't know this for sure. For all I know, this could be a phenomenal Kanye West album that he had somehow saved tracks from his Wyoming recording sessions. But I'm really scared. We'll find out September 28th, or probably a couple days after, because Kanye never drops on time. But that's my thoughts on that. And for those who didn't know, yes, Yandi is real. Kanye West is dropping more music this year, so keep an eye out for that. We'll run through some new music announcements a little later, but I want to get to our song of the week, which I said it was maybe the hottest one that we've ever played. And that's just simply a fact because JID has dropped the lead single for his new album, DiCaprio 2, titled 151 Rum. And it's crazy. This dude might have the best flow in the game while also having some of the best lyricism in the game. He put his talents on display on Denzel Curry's album Taboo on the track Sirens that he featured on. It was one of the craziest verses of the year. Just the cadence he can go at in his voice and the pockets he finds, it's really impressive because rapping fast does not equal rapping good. It's one of the reasons that people love Eminem is they think, oh, he raps super fast, he went in. And rapping fast is a talent. I give you props for being able to do it, but it doesn't make you a good rapper. But JID is an example of a rapper who accomplishes both. He's rhyming like triple speed. His schemes are insane. His flow, he's floating all over this beat. And it's got these crazy, like, blaring sounds going on in the background. And another thing that I think is really cool and makes me really anticipate this album is it starts by saying, Act 1, Scene 4. And then, boom, JID just starts killing it. And this makes me think that this album is going to have some type of storyline or, like, film-type aspect to it. And I'm a sucker for concept albums. I love when albums have a consistent theme or a story being told throughout them. I really love that in an album. And if that's what JID comes with on DiCaprio 2, it just might end up being like one of my favorite albums of the year. So I'll just get to the single now because you got to hear it. 151 Rum by JID. Check this out.
Act 1. scene?
Yeah.
Run, Ricky, run, run, nigga, run, jump, nigga, jump. Come here, they come. Run, 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 gun with the drum. Bum, bitty, bum, slump in the trunk. My city go dumb, 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 dumb. 151 rum in a blunt. Young nigga, numb, numb, numb. And he got a little gun. A little bitty killer really doing it for fun. Give him a little bitty, he'll get the nigga done. Son of a guy, son of a bitch, son of a woman, a man, son of a son, and a sunk in the bitch. I'm in a plan, please come with a script. Cover my back, cover man, please come with a blitz. Look at this stash, kid, like a magician. Fuck that, this some real ass shit. I pay blood for this. Taking cheese from the government cereal boxes with the bugs in it. Hand me down, did my brother, brother. Shit. Don't compare me to no other niggas in the city. Boy, they say they fucking with you. Heebie-jeebie, that's a bit disgusting, but I get it. I'm full of tension, full of spirit, but full of shit. Standing next to the tight when that bullet hit him. Shit, I miss him. I wish that bullet missed him, but it didn't. And since I've been living with it like a sickness. Instrument, infinite rhymes, give me the baton. A ticking, ticking time bomb, taking the finish line. Look alive, look in my eyes, look at you niggas trying to get dumb, dumb. Better run, run, cause we frying them. East side where you're from, niggas wildin'. So be silent before my niggas creep silent. With street knowledge, complete nonsense. Delete comments online, all lots, we see violence. Every day in my
is he killing my niggas?
Die, nigga, die. Pull up with the fire, get him, nigga. Time for a knife. We gotta ride, fucking nigga. Ride for the ride of your life. Diabolical minds, I don't mind it. I like it, I like it, I love it. I fuck with you, you a thug, I'm a thug with you. We can know, we can fuck if a nigga fuck with you. I got love for you, out the mud with you, out the mud.
Yeah.
Run, Ricky, run, run, nigga, run. Jump, nigga, jump. Come here, they come. Run, 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 run. Gun with the drum. Bum, bitty, bum. Slump in the trunk. My city go dumb, 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 dumb. 151 rum in a blunt. Young nigga, numb, numb, numb. And he got a little gun. A little bitty killer, really doing it for fun. Give him a little bit and he'll get a nigga.
That's 151 Rum by JID, and it's the hottest shit in Atlanta. Don't give me this Young Thug, Migos, Lil Uzi, Yachty. That's the hottest shit coming out of Atlanta right there. I like all those other guys. They're cool. But that's the hottest shit coming out of Atlanta. And if I wasn't already waiting on some new JID, I for sure am now. I need that tomorrow. I need it. If it drops in September, dude, it's already probably the best month for hip-hop this year. And actually, let's run through the releases. So this is what's come out new. Last week, September 14th, we got Room 25 by No Name, East Atlanta Love Letter by Black. We had No Cap by Cap G and Free Lunch EP from Wale. And then I'm recording this on Friday, on September 21st. So what just dropped today, or basically last night at midnight, we got Iridescence by Brockhampton, Drogas Wave by Lupe Fiasco. We got Binge by MGK. We got Budding Ornithologists Are Wary of Tired Analogies by Milo. That is a mouthful just to pronounce, but Milo's dope. Don't sleep on him. We got Role Model by Young Dolph. And a few days ago, we got 15 by Bad Baby. So that's your new music. That's what just dropped. A lot of those are great. I would suggest listening to like literally almost all of those. Like these are some good albums coming out. And what didn't drop, we were anticipating a potential Carter 5 by Lil Wayne last night. I waited up. It didn't come out. So I cried myself to sleep. And then some other rumored potential drops that I thought may come out last night, but they didn't, should be out soon, are On the Run by Young Thug and also Harvard Dropout by Lil Pump. That was due out like almost a month ago now. And every week they're like, oh, next week, next week, next week. It's not coming. At this point, I don't really care about it. You can keep it. And then some other projects that were confirmed that will be coming is, along with Kanye tweeting that Yandy is on the way, he also said he's been working with Chance the Rapper on putting out a kind of their 7-track collab effort, similar to what happened earlier in the year, titled Good Ass Job. So look for that. I don't know if it's going to be dropping soon or even this year, but it's in the works, Kanye times Chance. That could be great for Chance's career. I really think the guy who can get the most out of him is Kanye West. Just take a look at Ultralight Beam. That might be the best verse of Chance the Rapper's whole career. So look forward to that. I certainly am. And then obviously, we just talked about it. DiCaprio 2 by JID should be coming soon. I would say within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have that project in our hands. So that's what we got today from the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Hit that subscribe. Leave a rating. You can also follow me on Instagram at HipHopEnth. HipHopEnth. I try to get daily content going up on there. If it's not posts, I'm getting up stories. I'm interacting with people. If you're trying to contact me, that's the best place to do it. Please do. And check back with us next week. We'll be going over East Atlanta Love Letter by Black and Room 25 by No Name. You can get the podcast on the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, or WHUS site, whus.org/talk. Shout out to WHUS, UConn radio station. Let me get in here, record, get these episodes out for you guys. So that's a wrap. Thank you all for listening, and I will catch you guys next week. Peace.